am Alexander B. Stevens. This is the brand new up and coming podcast entitled, What Is He Thinking? The sometimes uncomfortable, sometimes politically incorrect, but always sincere and truthful podcast for the benefit of women from the perspective of men. You've got questions? I've got answers. What's going on? This is What Is He Thinking? I am Alexander Stevens, and we're back at it again for another episode. Today's topic is the biggest issue men have with the dating world today. But before we dive deeper into that topic, I first want to talk a little bit about the biggest problem in the dating world, period, for both men and women. The biggest problem and issue in the dating world, period, no matter gender. In my opinion, the overall biggest issue in the dating world today, 2020, is too many options. Now, I know what you might be thinking. You are probably thinking what a lot of individuals that were raised in the Western culture think, and that is, the more freedom you have, the better it is. The more choices you have equate to having more freedom. Therefore, the more choices you have, the better it is. But I'm here to tell you that that both is true and false at the same time. Both true and false, good and bad at the same time. Since you pretty much already know the good parts of freedom and ample choices, I'd like to focus on the drawbacks of having ample, excessive amounts of choices. Drawback number one is that the more choices you have or the more choices you feel like you have, the less likely you are to commit to or stick with one option. This doesn't matter much when it comes to frivolous options and choices like, I don't know, your favorite type of ice cream or choosing between different flavors of ice cream. But this can be critical when it comes to making a choice based off a list of imperfect options, each of which will require extensive amounts of work in order to make it a success. If one shows no commitment to a singular path or a singular person, if one doesn't exert full effort in order to make a difficult thing between two imperfect individuals work, then that is a formula for failure. Many times when people have a lot of options, they feel like if anything is difficult or going wrong with one option, that means that particular option was a wrong choice. But with dating, relationships, and dealing with other people, many times that's either not true or there isn't enough information to determine if it's true or not. So that's drawback number one of too many choices. Usually the number of choices a person has is inversely proportionate to the amount of effort and commitment they will expend toward exercising and exploring one of those choices. And that is counterproductive when it comes to dating, relationships, or finding love. All right. Drawback number two is the illusion of choices. The illusion of choice is basically when the powers that be, outside forces, or your own mind make you think that you have more options than you really do. The illusion of choice is when you're considering more options than are actually feasible. Nowadays, two decades into the 21st century, an individual that's on the dating market can see a wide variety of people from a wide variety of different places online and on their TV. Because of this, most people subconsciously augment the number of viable romantic options that they have because subconsciously they are considering way more locations and way more types of lifestyles that they could live than are truly feasibly possible for their future. For some, making drastic life changes and moving to random, faraway parts of the country is possible and will happen. For others, drastically shaking up their life and changing their whole way of living could happen, but for most, it does not. So the options that you thought you had, you really don't. For example, when one is online dating, you see an endless catalog of singles, almost like when you're online shopping and you see pages and pages of merchandise that you could potentially buy. But the thing is, one, Most people shop on websites in which they already know they can afford pretty much everything that's available to them. Two, merchandise are inanimate objects that cannot reject you or refuse you if they don't want you in their life. People can. Furthermore, to go along with the analogy, there are many cases that a lot of shoppers can't afford the people they desire in the online catalog they are perusing. They might think they can afford them because most people, especially women, overestimate their dating market value, but they cannot. And because they cannot, those certain individuals really aren't viable options at all. Afford? What are you talking about, Alexander Stevens? Well, when I say afford, I mean each person has their own self-determined romantic price or NC-17 price that you have to have enough currency and saving to get the opportunity to cash in on that option. Currency? Well, in the dating marketplace, your currency are your looks, your personality, your intangibles, your location, your availability, and for men, your finances. So, since most people have a sticker on their forehead that's invisible to everyone, there's no way of knowing the exact amount or combination of looks, personality, intangibles, location, etc., etc., that's required in order to make that specific individual a viable option. For example, imagine you're online shopping at, JCPenney's or Kohl's or someplace where you know you can afford anything on the site. Then compare that to shopping on a jewelry website or a website that has a variety of cars of different makes and models, but no prices. On the first example, all the options you see, all the choices of different merchandise you see are viable. In the second example, if you make $60,000 a year, despite you thinking a BMW is a viable purchase because you don't see the sticker price on the car, in reality, it is not a real option for you. So wasting time and mental energy on exploring, pondering, deliberating, or deciding between unrealistic, unviable options is not only a waste of energy, but it takes time away from other realistic options that you could have been exploring and determining whether they were right for you or not. So, drawback number two is the illusion of thinking you have more choices than you really do and wasting time with non-viable choices. Drawback number three is the most complicated of all the drawbacks related to choice, but also the most profound in my opinion. Drawback number three is the paradox of choice. The paradox of choice. The paradox of choice is a concept, theory, and book first presented to the public in mass by an individual, a psychologist by the name of Barry Schwartz, approximately 16 years ago. Barry Schwartz, at the beginning of the 21st century, came out with a top-selling book called The Paradox of Choice. So many of the things I'm about to say come from either that book or his handful of lectures he's done on the topic that you can find on YouTube. So you can refer to that if you need references or you're looking for more detail. But today I'm going to go over the highlights of that theory. Schwartz says people nowadays spend an exorbitant amount of extra time thinking about decisions today that used to be non-decisions 50 years ago. He also says, yes, choice and freedom are good, but what people do not want to acknowledge is that they can be bad at the same time. In a survey to shoppers in his book, over two-thirds of the people in his book say that when shopping, there is way more choice than is actually necessary. And this is absolutely true because statistically speaking, the number of different choices of the same things in grocery stores has exponentially grown in the last 40 years. So, similar to grocery store merchandise, this same concept can be applied to human beings and dating in general. Because, due to reasons I've already explained, the number of choices an individual thinks they have has exponentially risen in the last 40 years. It wasn't too long ago that the average person knew that their whole selection of people that they could potentially marry, the pond that they were fishing from, was their neighborhood, their church, their high school, and their college if they were fortunate enough to go to college. When options are limited and finite, decision making is taken more seriously sooner, and in many cases, decision making is easier. But that's somewhat of a tangent away from the theory of the book, so let me get back to the point. The main synopsis or the main points of the book and the theory of the paradox of choice, parentheses, why choice? Well, rather, how too many choices makes people miserable, close parentheses. Is one, the more choices you have, the less likely you are to make a choice because of paralysis of analysis. Two, there is a sweet spot or a tipping point where more choices than this number becomes counterproductive. For example, you can believe this or not, but there's a study that said regarding whether money can buy you happiness or not, is that a person's happiness increases proportionately with the amount of money they have from poverty to about $75,000 a year. Then past that point, there is virtually no positive impact that earning more money will have on the happiness or fulfillment of your life. So similarly, there's a sweet spot or a number of choices for a particular item that you can reach, and beyond that, more choices make things more difficult, not better. Next, having an overabundance of choices induces people to make worse decisions. Why? Because there are so many variables to consider, most people will omit many of the variables and use a simplified strategy to try to determine the option they should choose. And usually the limited variables that they decide to consider with their simplified strategy to try to determine what choice they should make are based off of which variables are easiest to evaluate, not necessarily which variables are the most important when it comes to making the proper decision. Therefore, this lends itself to worse decision making. For example, when it comes to people dating and selecting a mate, you know, most people would say, I want somebody loyal, honest, sincere, funny, shares my values, and attractive. Well, if you look at that list of items that you desire in a mate, how easy is it to determine each one of those things? Most of them would require 5 to 20 dates to really determine. But which ones of those things are easy to determine? Well, it takes 5 to 20 seconds to determine if you're physically attracted to somebody. And it takes 5 minutes to determine if somebody's funny. So, what do many people do, or what do a lot of people do if they're like speed dating or something of that nature? They simplify their selection process by just focusing on the hot and funny people, and they ignore looking for the hints and the clues that people might share in their conversation that they have any of those other qualities that you said you wanted in a mate. Therefore, your simplified strategy has made your decision making worse. Next point regarding the paradox of choice. Having an overabundance of choice causes most people to delay making a choice because they are procrastinating over the fact that they know that there are so many options and variables they have to evaluate and compare and contrast. It's so much to take on that for many people it overwhelms them, and a lot of times overwhelmed people just avoid the trigger that makes them feel overwhelmed instead of attacking it head on and solving the problem or making the decision. Next, the more choices you have, the more likely you are to regret your choice after you make it. And even though your choice might technically be better than it would have been if you only had 3 options, you will most likely feel worse about it. Why? FOMO, fear of missing out. Anytime you make a choice or decision, you realize that you gave up the opportunity to go down a different path and enjoy the different benefits of an alternate decision. What you're passing up with the alternative subtracts from the satisfaction of what you do have. Have you ever heard of the 80-20 rule? Well, the more choices you have out there, the more you notice that 20 in comparison to if you didn't have that many choices. Next, more choice increases expectations. Basically, happiness and satisfaction is directly related to your expectation levels. The lower your expectations are, the more chance that something in life can exceed your expectations and leave you pleasantly surprised and happy. But when you have a lot of options, you expect to be able to choose an option that's all you have ever dreamed of, not just an option that's good enough, like you might expect if you only had a handful of options. Last thing I'll touch on is self-blame. Self-blame is a reason that having an overabundance of choices cannot be good. When you have only a handful of choices and you don't like what you have, it's the world's fault for having such limited choices. It's not your fault that you're unhappy. You can blame somebody else. But when you have tens of thousands of choices and you don't like the choice you've picked, it's clearly your fault. And you can't deflect blame anywhere else. Because of this burden I just described, amongst other things that are outside of the scope of this podcast, the diagnosed cases of depression in 2020 is much greater now than in previous decades. Well, that's enough about that. Hopefully, you can see the parallels and the relationship between the concepts I was trying to educate you about and dating. Hopefully now you understand what I'm trying to say when I say that the overabundance of choice, the overabundance of options, is the root cause of the biggest overall issue with the dating world today. Now, what you've all been waiting for, the biggest issue men have with dating today, is the dissolution and the blurring of the gender role lines. The biggest issue, in my opinion, that men have in the dating world today is the ambiguity and the inconsistency of gender roles. Men's biggest issue in the dating world today is the ambiguity and inconsistency of gender roles. Now, I know what you might be thinking. This is a bash feminism podcast. No, not necessarily. Am I here saying the second and third wave of the feminist movement was bad? No, I'm not. But I'm just here to say that it hasn't been all good either. Some could argue feminism has caused almost as many problems as it has solved. Feminism is good for women's educational and career prospects, money-making ability perhaps, especially in a world that has gone away from factory and blue-collar, physically taxing work and toward white-collar work. But there is zero evidence that feminism has been good for the family unit as a whole, and I would say there's plenty of empirical evidence that it has definitely not been good for the dating and relationship world for either gender. Let me take a side road real quick. What many men thought would come from accepting feminism and allowing the society and the culture to shift in the direction that it has shifted in the last 30 years, what many men thought would come from gender role abolishment is a world where the burden of being judged by the ability to provide and the size of your wallet would be gone. The burden of the man having to instigate, sponsor, and carry the load in the early stages of dating would also be gone. And women would start to approach, pay for dates, and women would choose men and couple up with them purely based on compatibility and the content of their character. This is what men thought at the beginning of allowing second and third wave feminism to change the culture. But this has not happened. Women still want traditional gender roles to stand during the first year or so of interacting with a prospective mate or long-term relationship cohabitant. And women still gravitate toward men with larger wallets over smaller ones. Women having money of their own has just, one, made employers pay less because the pool of qualified people for the job has almost doubled, which also in turn has kind of made double income households a necessity for most people and most families. And two, the abolition of gender roles that has caused women to be able to have the education and ability to make good money on their own has caused the pool of men that they would seriously consider dating and marrying to shrink. Why? Because the theory of hypergamy suggests that most women choose a man to reproduce with or marry that is better than they are in some way, so that man can elevate them and improve their station in life. So, women usually try to date men that are doing better than they are, or at the very least, on their same financial educational level. So because of this, the woman's personal salary and net worth becomes their baseline to judge potential future mates off of. And because most women will not seriously deal with a man that earns less than they do, the better the woman does financially and in her career, the fewer men she has to choose from. Since I'm on this side road, let me continue to drive here in the weeds. I'm assuming that what women thought would come from second and third wave feminism and gender role abolishment is equal respect and equal career opportunities to men, equal pay to men, and 50-50 help at home with the kids and domestic work. Some of those desires have come to fruition, but many of those have not fully become realized either. Men still prefer, and in reality, women actually still handle the lion's share of domestic work and nurturing duties at the house. It's debatable as to if women actually do get paid equally to men for doing the same jobs. And respect for women and across the genders is at an all-time low. Anyway, enough of that. Back to my main point about the dissolution of gender roles being the biggest issue men have in the dating world today. Men are taught to ignore traditional gender roles and treat women like men in all aspects of society, except for dating. And of course, except for situations where a physical confrontation would be the most natural response if a man was dealing with another man. Furthermore, like I said earlier, most women prefer some level of traditional gender roles when it comes to the early stages of dating and relationships. But these same women do not want traditional gender roles when they are in a serious long-term relationship or marriage. So this dichotomy of roles that a man has to play and mentalities that he has to have, depending on the woman herself in general, or the stage of dating he is in with the woman specifically, is pretty confusing and frustrating to many men. Now, am I sitting here saying that men's biggest issue with the dating world today is that it's not 1960 anymore, and if we would just go back to 1960, everything would be okay? No, I'm not necessarily saying that. But I am saying the system of traditional gender roles is cohesive and consistent when it's thoroughly carried out on both ends of the equation. Like any system, it has its strengths and weaknesses, but it is at least cohesive. Likewise, a system of complete equality or no gender roles could theoretically be cohesive and consistent as well if it was done across the board in all aspects of life. But that doesn't happen. What does happen is something that is not cohesive, logical, or consistent. And what is not clear and what is confusing is a mixture of the two. And that mixture of the two, which most women want, confuses men and lends itself to men acting awkwardly or in ways women do not like. This confusing, inconsistent mixture of traditional and modern gender roles angers men, which causes men to enter the dating arena and deal with women in poor faith. What makes an individual operate in poor faith? Usually when they feel like they are not getting a fair shake. Men think it is unfair and inconsistent and incongruent for women to pick and choose a la carte, selectively want chivalry and traditional roles in certain aspects of dating from men, but not give them to men in other aspects of a relationship or in other aspects of our society. Men are simple. Men like methodical, logical processes. Dating women is no longer straightforward, logical, transparent, and simple. Men think dating women, more times than not, is no longer a good return on the effort investment because there are no more rules or guarantees. Him doing his part and giving the woman what she desires does not guarantee that he will receive half of what he desires from the woman later on, like it used to. Like I alluded to earlier, not only do women want to flip back and forth between traditional and modern gender roles when dating, but each specific individual woman wants different mixtures and different levels of traditional and modern gender roles in the dating process and in the serious relationship stage of their interaction. There isn't a consensus or a general consensus that you can go by like there once was in society. Every situation is overly individualized, which makes things even more confusing and frustrating for men. There are no tried and true rules, expectations, and guidelines for men to follow to maximize their success in their love life. Back in the day, Grandpa knew what was expected of him and what he had to do to get Grandma. He knew his role. Be direct and show your interest, meet her parents, woo her, buy this, buy that, pay for all dates, and after a 6 to 12 month time period of courtship, come to some mutual agreement or not with the individual if you're going to get married. And if you did get married, he knew at that point he would be head of household, the sole breadwinner, final decision maker, responsible for lawn work and honeydew fix-me-uppers around the house. And in return for his efforts before they got married and his efforts and his role during the marriage, he knew what he was receiving in return from the woman. She would be the domestic engineer of the household, taking care of cleanliness duties, cooking, and most, if not all, of the child rearing. Men nowadays have no idea what steps they need to take in order to win over a particular woman. And if they do win her over, they have no idea what exactly they have even won over in the first place. They have no clue and can make no assumption on what they will receive from being with this woman. And because of this, men of today have minimal incentive to do their part on the front end when romantically dealing with women. Lastly, in my opinion, blurred gender roles have led to increased broken homes and increased fatherless single mother homes overall. In general, broken homes and fatherless homes do not produce the type of boys that grow up to be the type of men that are good for women or that women even like in the first place. So the ambiguous blurred gender roles that women have pushed for, which might be good for them at school and work, are the number one culprit for creating the difficulties that they are having in their dating life. And if they do so happen to find somebody to settle down with, the difficulties that they will have in their family life in many cases. So let me wrap things up. In conclusion, boys raised during the second and third wave of feminism, one, typically were not raised around masculine men or a man at all to learn how to become an adult man, so they don't know what they're doing. They learn how to date and treat women by trial and error. Each error leads to a headache or a broken heart of a woman. Two, if they were raised with a man in the house, most were raised with a gender-neutral or ambiguous gender role philosophy, which does not serve them well in their dating lives. Women still desire strong, assertive, confident, provider, protector, aka traditional type men, who they like to be approached by and who they like to be with during the beginning stages of dating and in the early portion of a relationship. Next. Men don't like the confusing and varied methodology, the confusing and varied paths that they have to take to potentially win a woman over. Men feel like they would disappoint women less if there was a tried and true known path to take to try to win over a woman, similar to what Grandpa had. And to most men of today, it wouldn't matter if that path was 100% traditional or 100% modern. It's the ambiguous mixture in the middle that is frustrating. Lastly, many men feel it's unfair for them to have to be a traditional man towards a woman who is not traditional herself. Many men are uneasy or uncomfortable with the fact that they have to act like it's 1960 during the stages of dating and relationships when that behavior would most benefit the woman. But then they have to flip it and act like it's 2022 during the latter stages of a relationship when once again that would most benefit the woman. Many men do not like the fact that, unlike Grandpa, they know that they will not receive the benefits of traditional gender roles despite suffering through and carrying the front-end burden of traditional gender roles when dealing with women. What front-end burden, do you ask? The risk of approaching and instigating things, and the financial burden of carrying everything throughout the courtship. So it's like the man gets the short end of the stick on the front end and the back end of the relationship. So why pursue a serious relationship? Why be an upstanding, honest, straightforward man? Why not just be in it for the short term? Why not just be in it for yourself and do whatever you have to do in order to get your sexual release and move on? Because of all I have spoken of previously, this is why I feel like the biggest problem men have with the dating world today, the biggest issue men have with the dating world today, is the confusing, ambiguous nature of gender roles. So, if you take the gender role issue and mix that together with what I've already spoke on regarding the illusion of choice and the paradox of choice, the only conclusion you can come to is that this dating world is a frustrating hot mess for both men and women. And because it's a hot mess, you have many men giving up on the idea of love or having a traditional two-parent household for kids, and either leaving the dating market completely, becoming loners, addicted to porn and sex workers, or being deceitful and shallow in the dating market and pursue women for just the sexual release alone. Furthermore, likewise, you have women also giving up on the idea of love and trying to fill that hole in their life by either making their career their husband, becoming obsessed with international travel to occupy their time, intentionally becoming a single mom when their biological clock starts ringing like crazy in their mid to late 30s, and or becoming first-time pet owners or acquiring a large number of pets late in life, so they have something with a heartbeat under their roof that they can love. The reaction of both men and women to the current state of male-female relations in the dating world is extremely unfortunate and disheartening. Not only that, but the individual reactions of both men and women lends itself to and leads us all towards the cycle of disappointment and despair continuing into the future with the generations to come. That spells doom for us all. Since none of us want that, I suppose even though this podcast was aimed on identifying problems and issues, I should offer some quick solutions or at least tidbits of advice in order to work around the issues I have described. Before wrapping this podcast up, 1. Both genders need to take their romantic interactions with the other gender more seriously. Because there isn't an endless number of candidates out there like your brain might think because of television and the internet. A study from the New York Times shows that approximately 80% of Americans live within 30 minutes of their parents. So your hometown, your home area, is still the most likely place you're going to find the man that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. So stop looking on the internet for men in different states unless you're seriously really about to relocate. Those are not viable options. Learn what your real, true, viable options are and take those individuals seriously. Next, you must acknowledge that this overabundance of choices or perceived choices affects your decision making. So you must be cognizant of taking shortcuts when trying to decide who the right person is for you. You still must be diligent. You still must be meticulous when making that decision. The easy thing to do is to push off the decision to commit. The easy thing to do is to regret whatever decision you make, just always thinking the grass is greener on the other side. The easy thing to do is to either oversimplify or overcomplicate your decision when it comes to your romantic life. Neither one of these extremes are beneficial to you. What you want to do is be intentional, be sincere, keep important things important and unimportant things out of your decision making. Do not procrastinate and push off making commitments and decisions. At the same time, do not rush making commitments or decisions in your love life. Keep these things in mind and you will be able to handle the paradox of choice. And finally, in regards to gender roles, my advice to you would be a consistent woman in regards to gender roles. Understand the male perspective of how confusing it is nowadays compared to how it was for grandpa. Understand the reality that most men you come across are on the job training. They are building the plane as they fly. They're trying to learn as they go. They do not know what they're doing. They didn't have a father or a good father there that taught them. They didn't have the older brother. And society gives them mixed messages. So be somewhat patient, but also aware of this reality. When I say a consistent woman, if you believe in 50-50, equal rights, we're all the same, then you need to be that way in the early stages of dating as well. You might need to ask some guys out. You might need to crack your purse open every now and then on one of these early dates. You need to establish the type of relationship that you want from day one. If you are more traditional, let the man know that early on so he will know if he wants to go that route or if he wants to throw in the towel. Do not let society, your mother, or your friends pressure you into doing something or being something that isn't you. What is the point of pretending you're something that you're not? Just be consistent from day one and things will be much better. And if you're like many women that are somewhere in the middle between egalitarian and traditional, make sure the mixture, the ambiguous and the gray area gender roles that you ascribe to is fair, consistent, and cohesive. Make sure you're not cherry picking gender role related dating norms from this generation and that generation, just the items that you like because they benefit you, and ignoring the compatible companion role or reaction that existed in each one of those generations that you don't like. This type of cherry picking gives men a raw deal and will cause problems for you, if not in your dating and relationships, definitely in your marriage. Lastly, be straightforward, clear, and transparent with what you expect from him and what he can expect from you if things progress successfully between you two. I have said enough. Hopefully you understand the dating and relationship issues I brought up, and you are more cognizant of your decision making and are more aware of the male perspective today than you were yesterday. My goal with this episode and with this podcast in general is to help bridge the gap so we can have better and healthier relationships and relations with each other in the future. All right, that should just about wrap things up. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to what I have to say. And if you found any part of this episode helpful, thought-provoking, or intriguing, please share it with a friend. The more people I can help, the better I feel within. If you have any questions, any suggestions for new topics for me to discuss in the future, or if you need any clarification on anything I have spoken on, please just shoot me an email at whatishethinking@gmail.com. whatishethinking@gmail.com. Or you can send me a message via my Anchor website. All you need to do is go to anchor.fm/whatishethinking/message. anchor.fm/whatishethinking/message. Go there, leave me a couple words, and if it's constructive, I will definitely get back to you or keep your thoughts in mind when I record future podcasts. And never forget, I'm not here to tickle your ear. My only goal is to tell you what you need to know. I'm not here to offend. I just want to see you win with men. Well, until we meet again,